You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. My guest is Jeff Miller. He's a senior conservation advocate at the Center for Biological Diversity. The center is concerned about two endangered species of fish in Oregon and has petitioned the U.S. Department of Fish and Wildlife for federal protections. Welcome to the Exchange, Jeff.
Thank you, Mike. It's good to be on.
Can you describe the fish you're concerned about?
Yeah, well, today we're going to talk about minnows, very charismatic fish species. I know salmon get a lot of the attention, and rightfully so, but these are a couple of our native minnow species. And my philosophy is when the minnows are disappearing, maybe we should start thinking about panicking. We petitioned earlier this month for federal protections for the Umpqua chub, which is a small minnow that's found only in the Umpqua River Basin. They're kind of using off-channel habitats, off-stream habitats with slow water velocities and feeding on aquatic insects on the bottom. And then we also petitioned for the northern roach, which is a very tiny bronze-colored minnow that only occurs in the upper Pitt River Basin, so upstream of the Pitt River Falls in northeastern California, and then in a few tributaries of Goose Lake in southern Oregon. And these are minnow species that were formerly pretty widespread and common, and have been declining over the last several decades.
So now when you talk about minnows, I know minnows are small, but what's the size are we talking about?
Well, these are both small minnows. There are some minnows that get larger, up to like a foot long, but most minnows are, finger size or smaller. These are fish that, in healthy ecosystems would be more abundant than, say, like salmon or steelhead or lamprey or sturgeon and, some of the charismatic species. And these are fish that are declining due to, well, a number of reasons, but for the Umpqua chub, it's mostly habitat loss, streams being channelized, loss of wetlands, and then also its decline corresponds with an increase in the invasive and predatory fish, smallmouth bass, throughout the Umpqua River drainage. And then for the northern roach, its habitat has kind of been degraded by water diversions that's going to agricultural irrigation, and then habitat damage through stream channelization, logging projects, livestock grazing, and again, non-native predatory fishes that get in there and eat them. And to put it in the larger context, we're facing a freshwater extinction crisis globally. About one out of every three freshwater fish on the planet is facing extinction. And then close to home, the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife did a study looking at all of our native wild fish in Oregon, and they found that nearly half of them are at risk of extinction. And that was 20 years ago, and conditions have only gotten worse for most of our freshwater fish since then.
So did you say the freshwater is declining?
Well, the freshwater fish species are declining. Yes, freshwater, I think we could consider it a potential endangered species also. But freshwater fish species, one out of three globally is looking at extinction.
A third?
A third of all freshwater fish on the planet, yep.
Okay, so these particular fish, how do you know they're specifically in trouble? I mean, how widespread were they at some point?
Yeah. So both Oregon and California maintain sensitive species lists, and they kind of track species that are on the trajectory towards, maybe needing protections under federal or state Endangered Species Act that are kind of imperiled. There's 21 freshwater fish species in southern Oregon that are on the sensitive species list. These are two of them, the Umpqua chub and the northern roach. We petitioned for four others in southern Oregon in the last 6 months. And yeah, there's another 15 species that probably also would warrant listing. There is some good news there. There's three species on the Oregon sensitive species list, three fish species in southern Oregon that were all listed under the Federal Endangered Species Act. And in the last year and a half, all three have been either come off the endangered species list or been proposed for removal. Because the Endangered Species Act did its job, we actually were able to direct some resources towards those fish species, do some habitat protections, and all three species are recovered or recovering. So, the flip side is there is some good news. And then California has their fish species of special concern. So species, again, are kind of on their way to endangered status. And there's 29 of those species in far northern California, 29 fish species that could probably go on either the state or the federal Endangered Species Act. And California recently passed legislation that was signed by the governor that actually will now provide state protected status for any federally listed endangered species in California if the Trump administration new policies are going to lessen the federal protection. So a number of those fish species could be advanced by the state towards state protections.
Well, it sounds like if you get the kind of support you need, you can implement the kind of models that would help these species survive and ultimately restore. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, some of the threats facing our wildlife species are, you know, kind of existential and hard to grapple with, like climate change and you know, increasing water temperatures and ocean conditions and those kind of things. But for a species that has a limited range and it's habitat damage, or if it's something like invasive species where you can actually remove the invasive species, you know, these species have a chance. I like to think of the Endangered Species Act as kind of the ICU, the intensive care unit for wildlife. So this is for protecting and stabilizing our most imperiled species and then setting them on the road to recovery. And we looked at every single species that's ever been listed under the Endangered Species Act. We did an analysis, and hands down, the Federal Endangered Species Act is the most effective tool we have to protect our wildlife. It's got an incredible 99% success rate, meaning that 99% of the species that are put on the endangered species list are actually saved from extinction. The caveat to that is you need dedicated funding to do that. So, and that's been a huge problem with federal protections.
My guest is Jeff Miller, a senior conservation advocate at the Center for Biological Diversity. The center has petitioned the federal government to list two species of Oregon fish on the endangered species list, and that's the Umpqua chub and the northern roach. Is that correct, Jeff?
That's right.
Okay, so now if you're telling me that 99% of the fish that get listed on this endangered species list can be saved and have been, are we just talking about money?
Yeah, mostly. You know, Fish and Wildlife Service has been a political football for decades. It's consistently underfunded, and that's deliberate. It gets about 3%, only 3% of the funding that it needs to actually do its job. That was before the Trump administration came in. Obviously, things have really dramatically changed since then. But yeah, it's 99% of all species listed on the Endangered Species Act. A small number have gone extinct. That's because you know, it takes an average of 10 to 12 years for a species to be proposed for federal protection to actually get onto the list, and some species have gone extinct while awaiting that protection. But species that do get protected and get the federal habitat protections, 99% of them are still with us, and the vast majority of them are actually on the road to recovery. Now, of course, recovery can take decades. You know, you're dealing with some widespread threats and impacts to their habitats, and you can't just snap your fingers and recover these species overnight. You know, we see it with our salmon populations up and down the West Coast. You know, we're struggling to keep those viable. It is our most effective tool. And unfortunately, you know, now, especially now, you know, with the government shutdown, you know, we've got the Trump administration using the shutdown to kind of further an agenda of just really taking a wrecking ball to our federal conservation programs and our laws. And this is going to hurt our forests and rivers that we depend on for drinking water and for growing food and for recreation, but also the habitat for these native fish species.
So Jeff, if I don't want to minimize this, I don't want to trivialize it in any way, but it sounds to me like if there's a 10 to 12 year wait to get on a list, and what you need when you get on that list is federal funding, during that 10 to 12 years that you're waiting on that federal funding, can't funding come from other sources?
Yes, in some cases it does. You know, states obviously have play a role in protecting their wildlife, and you know, there are programs in place for private landowners. Obviously, industries seeking permits to damage or destroy habitat. You know, at least previously, before Trump, had to, you know, get a permit and put money into conservation. So there is some funding, but what I'm saying is that the Fish and Wildlife Service itself is deliberately chronically underfunded so that it can't do its job. And unfortunately, that makes it so that the entire Endangered Species Act enforcement is litigation driven. The government can't and won't, the federal agency can't and won't do the job. Organizations like ours, nonprofits, have to step in because fortunately there's a citizen provision in the Endangered Species Act that allows us, the public, to enforce the act. That's all under the Trump administration. That's all slated to go away. You know, the executive orders and directives to the federal agencies are kind of the most widespread assault we've seen on our public lands and wildlife. And that's continuing to, despite the government shutdown. You know, most government functions have stopped, but work is continuing on oil and gas drilling permits, on logging in national forests, on mining projects. And now the shutdown is being used to target the very federal employees who are working on these critical conservation and environmental protection efforts. Those are the people being targeted for layoffs. We've learned that the federal government intends to fire dozens of Fish and Wildlife Service staff who play critical roles in protecting these endangered species and migratory birds across the country. So it's a very concerning time for conservation and wildlife and habitat protections, at least on the federal level.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, I hear two concerns in your voice. One is there's a concern for these species because they represent something in the ecosystem that's ultimately going to be devastating for us all. The other thing I hear is that there's a critical concern for the extinction or potential extinction of the government infrastructure that you're trying to petition.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if there was an Endangered Species Act for for federal protections, you know, yeah, it's, you know, even before the shutdown, really, I mean, it's an all-out assault is the only way to describe it. And the main thrust has been trying to eviscerate the Endangered Species Act. The Trump administration weakened the habitat protections for all endangered species. And of course, you cannot, you know, no species can survive without its suitable habitat. They pulled a blanket rule that had been used to protect species that were listed as threatened rather than endangered. And there's an ongoing attempt to try to illegally invoke what they call the God Squad, which is kind of an industry group that can unilaterally remove Endangered Species Act protections for species whose existence interferes with, you know, extraction industry profits. So, and then, you know, in addition to that, there's an effort to take our public lands away and hand them over to industry. We've had accelerated logging in our national forests. Trump just trying to repeal the roadless rule, so promoting logging and road construction in the most undeveloped and pristine parts of our national forests, trying to take away the status of national monuments, and actually even floating plans and legislation to sell off most of our federal public lands. You know, these are the waters and the forests we depend on. And then the background is doing away with environmental review. So cutting the public out of the process, no more public environmental review while they give away our public lands for logging or mining or drilling for oil and gas. So it's a pretty concerning era we are entering into. And like I mentioned, California trying to step up and fill the gap and make sure there's state protection if the federal protections are weakened, which is certainly the trajectory on. It'd be nice to see Oregon do something like that as well.
Okay, well, we're running out of time. And what I'm hearing you say is that industrial development is destroying the habitat of these critical species. What happens if these fish go extinct?
Well, we might not notice immediately, you know, the way we would with salmon declines, where, you know, fishermen are put out of business and salmon prices go up. But eventually, you know, all these species are connected. They're part of the ecosystem, and there's no such thing as an insignificant extinction. Eventually, it's going to come back to bite us.
Exactly.
makes it important that we head that off in the past.
Okay. Well, that's all the time we have. Thank you so much for the work you do, Jeff.
Thank you, Mike.
My guest was Jeff Miller, a senior conservation advocate at the Center for Biological Diversity.